This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. It's your sports bro, Roppin'ness.
Roppin'ness. You're all out of sorts because it's not even 5 o'clock yet.
I know. I'm thrown off. It's 4:59. What are we doing?
What are you going to do for the next 12 minutes when we get to the hot 5-5?
Well, we can talk about animals interrupting sporting events. You were talking about Billy Horschel today.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing golf out in Florida, and there's a gator out there on the golf course. And Billy Horschel just went over there and tapped it on its nose with his golf club.
Not his first rodeo, it seems.
No. And the damn gator just did a U-turn and ran out of there.
He didn't want any part of Horschel.
Is that the worst animal that has ever interrupted a sporting event?
Worst as far as most dangerous?
Yeah. Yes. That's what I mean. I mean, can you think of...
Has there ever been like a cricket match where a tiger runs in or something like that?
Wow. Really?
I don't know.
In India?
Yeah. That's where you like would find tigers. You're not going to get them here in the U.S.
Well, I know, but don't they play cricket in like big stadiums? Like there's just going to be a tiger running around?
Well, I don't know.
What are you talking about? It's me, Rob.
Asada.
Big Suk is spring training. He's in Arizona. He'll be back on Monday. Coming up here. What do we have? I got to check my notes. RIP, the end of an era in the NBA. We will talk about potential NFL rule changes. Coming up in the club tonight, what the hell happened to Gene Hackman? Well, more importantly, Gene Hackman's dog. We will ask that question. We will explore. And we've got this little grape hypothetical that Buckley brought to my attention the other day, which is great. And we're going to discuss it.
It's a tough philosophical choice.
Live on the radio. Yeah. Well, it's that time of year where we can do things like that. You know, our producers over the years have all had great qualities. But I got to tell you, content-wise, you top them all.
I think that I figured out kind of the weird niche in which this show thrives, you know? Like, the content that verges on being totally stupid, but just meaty enough to get our hooks into, we get a lot of that. And somehow that finds me in my algorithm now, and I forward that on to you.
It's just, it gets easier and easier, doesn't it?
I suppose it does.
Yeah, Buck sent me a story about a guy's micro-penis today.
Did I also send you the one about the person without a vagina who's pregnant?
Oh, I didn't see that one.
I'll have to send that to you as well.
Yeah, there's some story in the New York Post about, and by the way, most of all of his content comes from the New York Post.
They have the it's weirdest, right up the weirdest club-style sidelines. Yeah, it's just this woman.
I don't even know why. Why is that even a story? It's a woman who has a boyfriend who has a micro penis, and she's okay with it. And that's the story. What?
It got my click.
It was in the paper? I know. I read through the whole thing. It was fascinating. But look, I don't think it's going to make the cut here on this program. But I can tell you, he was, I know what you're thinking. How small is a micro penis? I think they said he was at 3 inches or something, 2 point something. He's from, where's he from? Was it Australia or New Zealand or something?
I'd have to go back and look. I don't recall.
Anyway, they were saying the average Wang in his country is like 5.5, and he's like 3. And she was like, ah, no, it's great. I love it.
She great.
Was. She was. She. I kind of wanted to see the Wang. She loves it. She says that she has some sort of condition where her parts aren't
a little shallower than most.
It's just, I don't know. See, again, why are we even talking? But this is why. This is the type of stuff Buckley forwards. And in that vein, the grape hypothetical is a great one. And you and I were texting back and forth about it quite a bit. A lot of different considerations with the grape.
We spent quite a bit of time on it.
So we're going to get to that tonight in the club. Okay. I mean, it's 5:03. I could waste more time, or we could just get right to it.
Get right to it.
You think?
If you want to. I'm looking up lists of other animals interrupting sporting events, and I was looking for like most dangerous or fiercest. There have been a couple bats that have shown up at I mean, they could be, you know, carrying things, but otherwise it's definitely the gator.
Rufio says there's a bear that escaped during the Flint Tropics game. Oh, Flint Tropics. Yeah, but there was a minor league game where there was a bear kind of I don't know, whatever, doing what bears do?
Yeah.
Outside the fence. It was one of those chain link fences?
Yeah, it looked like there. I saw one here where there was like a bear in Juneau, Alaska, just outside the baseball field. But yeah. Like, it didn't look like it was on the field, so I don't know.
Right. Yeah, we're not giving that much credit.
No.
Credence. It's got to be a gator. What about like a super poisonous snake?
Yeah, that's, I mean, trying to think where that would pop up, like on a what, on a football field or a soccer field or something like that, like
maybe like under a bench.
Yeah, yeah.
The seats. Some kid goes down to, you know, like you're in Australia or something. They have a bunch of
spring training and rattlesnake. Tah! Get you right there.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like too, huh?
Probably.
Tah!
It's not quite your sad. It's not quite your giraffe noise, but then again, nothing is.
I did read tales. I was just looking that up. There was an iguana. At some sporting event once. Well, and you know, somebody brings up the bowl. The bowl.
But the bowl is the sporting event.
Sport, yeah. So we can't count that.
And really, it's when bulls have disrupted the spectators, not the sport itself.
I was talking with Jake, who's a big Yankee fan, out there before the show. He was telling me about Jobber Chamberlain.
Remember the moths on his neck or the
gnats? Yes, that's what I was thinking. Bugs? Yeah, because, okay, so Jobber Chamberlain, first of all, Jake told me something that I didn't even know about my own World Series champion Royals.
Okay.
Whatever year that was, 2015.
Was Jobber on the team or something?
He was on that team.
Really?
Yes. And I was like, dude, no, he wasn't.
I don't remember him on that team at all.
And he was like, yeah. And I looked it up. He was on that team. He wasn't. Huh. I don't think he was on. He sucked. He wasn't on the actual World Series roster, but he did play for the Royals.
He was really kind of just a flash in the pan. He wasn't very good for very long.
He was. And we were talking about him. And we both, he's a Yankee fan. He's like, I only think of, when I think of Jobber Chamberlain,
that is the first thing I think of.
Yeah. We think of the Bug Game. And if you don't know, he was pitching for the Yankees against I think they were in Cleveland.
One that sounds right. Was it, and it was night. Like, was it an American League playoff game or was it just a regular season, like primetime game? I can't remember.
Well, if it was a playoff game, I thought it was really hot. It was midsummer.
It was like humid. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think so it wouldn't have been a playoff game.
It looked sticky.
And it was just bugs everywhere.
Just they had landing on him.
Stop the game.
He had dozens, if not hundreds, of like gnats on his fat neck.
Killer gnats on his fat neck.
It's gross.
Feasting off his blood and fat.
Ugh. All right. They came out with like the trainer spray. I'm like, is that bug spray or is that like the, wait, what are you actually spraying on him?
They had to stop the game. All right, we've stalled enough. Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Well, I don't have much in the way of college basketball for you tonight as it's Thursday. But I am going to start trying to give you more as we approach March. Number 15, Michigan does play Rutgers this evening. And number 23, St. Mary's is at Loyola Marymount. St. Mary's, have you been watching any hot West Coast Conference basketball action?
A little bit.
St. Mary's is freaking good.
They haven't lost in months, right?
That dude, that coach there.
Randy Bennett.
He's awesome.
He's really good.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, they're gonna run away with the WCC. I think they got like a 3-game lead on Gonzaga.
Yeah, the Zags. I was informed by Ortner and Soup the other day that the Zags are slotted as like an 8 or a 9 seed.
Yeah, you're going to get some really weird, like, you're going to get blue blood style tournament teams in those. Like, you're going to get Kansas as like an 8 or 9. You're going to get Gonzaga as an 8 or a 9.
Hey, whoa. We're not falling to an 8 or a 9.
Okay, maybe you're not.
It'll
be a 6.
5, 4, 5, maybe 6.
Let's look at the latest bracketology.
Number 4.
Jake Knapp, a man
that I'd like to buy a beer.
Yeah, he just won Buckley more money. First round leader at the Cognizant, the PGA National in Florida, is significant because he shot a 59.
Course record.
Just the 16th sub 60 round in PGA Tour history. He leads there by 4 shots. He's 12 under. He had 12 birdies. He leads Daniel Berger, Russell Henley, and Sam Valamaki, who are all 8 under.
Well, not to pat myself on the back too hard here, but two of my other first round leader picks, Berger and Henley.
You're unbelievable.
I had 3 of the top 3.
You're unbelievable. You should get more for that.
I agree.
Although, it's not really you that's doing it.
No.
And that disappoints me. I thought it was your own research.
Well, Knapp was mine. I told you that. Knapp was mine. I followed somebody on Wyndham Clark, but Knapp was all me. Also, your Jayhawks right now, a 6 seed playing 11 seed Ohio State in the latest bracketology.
Okay. I've watched Ohio State. They're not impressive.
You'd be in the same little pod as Kentucky.
Also not that impressive. We played them once already. What number are we on?
3.
Oh, yes, 3. As expected, the NFL salary cap is set. Comes in at $279.2 million per team, which is a lot of money. As a matter of fact, I saw somebody saying, it was one of the Seahawks reporters saying that if the Seahawks sign Geno Smith to a $40 million a year deal, it is only 14% of their cap, which is actually manageable.
I still don't think you need to be giving Geno Smith $40 million.
Just on principle alone?
Yeah.
What is that?
Also saw that Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald going to be the keynote speaker at the Oregon Ducks coaching clinic.
Really?
Well, yeah. Dan Lanning brings in some of the football world's best and brightest.
I like Mike McDonald.
Yeah, I do too.
I'd like to listen to him speak. Reports of Greg Popovich emerging from a stroke to have what was described as an emotional in-person meeting with his players today. Apparently, we're finding out that he informed them that he will not return this season, but he says he's going to focus on his health, and he does have the idea that he will be able to coach in the future, so nothing set in stone on the future of Greg Popovich with the Spurs. Although I'd be surprised if he comes back. I mean, he's getting kind of old, isn't he? Also, rumors of... Have you seen the rumor of who may be next to, with the Spurs?
I have not.
Bill Self.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Oklahoma State was going to be his gig.
Yeah, Pop's 76, man.
Yeah, Pop doesn't need... I mean, is he trying to win one with Wemby? Is that what's going on here?
I think he just likes to coach. Maybe hates his wife.
I think he loves to coach. Although he does have a taste for the finer things. I'll share it with you another time. There's a really great article about how much he loves wine.
Yeah. Yeah, he brings a. Doesn't he bring a bottle to every city and
like really nice ones? And he tries to like kind of like introduce his players to it. And like he's, I guess he's very generous with it. He takes the team and personnel out to really nice.
He knows his
dinners and bars and.
Well, red wine's a big deal in the NBA. You know, Siege big into red wine.
Yep, LeBron of course, LeBron, big wine guy,
pretends to be.
Yep.
Travis Kelce says he has a bad taste in his mouth from the Super Bowl, and he will return to the Kansas City Chiefs next season. He is 35 years old. Meanwhile, Pro Bowl guard Trey Smith is going to get the franchise tag. He'll be back in Kansas City for at least one more season. That's going to get him only about $23 million, which is a nice chunk. But I'm sure he's disappointed by that, wanting a long-term deal. So there you go. There's your hot 5 at 5. Can you believe that? We got it in, and we're on time yet again.
And
see
almost
what happens?
Almost back to this show's normal. We're now a minute over, so that's...
Oh, damn it.
Here well, no, it's right where we need to be.
This is what happens when Sook leaves. My greatness shines, you know? It's holding me back. It's been too long. I'm going to get rid of that dead weight. Victory Eco's Mexican Food, 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorico's.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victory Eco's. Well, it's the end of an era in the NBA, one you probably had no idea about. That's next on The Fan. Okay, coming up, we'll get into NFL rules changes. Well, I spoke too soon. I said it's the end of an era in the NBA, but I just... saw a follow-up on this story I'm about to present to you, and it is not the end of an era in the NBA. But it was pretty funny earlier this week when, you know, ball sacked. We always talk about being ball sacked here on the program. And Sook often gets ball sacked.
Right over here, Steed Cream Roper.
Yeah, that's right. You were ball sacked. I've been ball sacked. We've all been ball sacked.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Colin did the other day.
Did he?
Yeah.
What was it?
Said that they weren't even letting people with Luka jerseys into the Mavericks games anymore. It was from a fake NBA account that said, Maverick security has been told not to let any people with Doncic jerseys in. That's not true.
It might have been this one I'm about to talk about. So Ballsack is the original, where it's just fake news. It's a parody account, but people fall for it.
But it's called Ballsack Sports, so you know it's a gag account.
Right. And so this one is called NBA Centel.
This is the one. This is the one that got Colin the other day.
So it's pretty funny that. So this is it's a parody account, and I believe it says right on its profile that it's parody.
But they use the same profile picture as the NBA Central or NBA Dunk Central.
That's right. And people oftentimes don't bother to pay attention. They don't look. It looks like NBA Central, but it's NBA Centel. Says it's parody, and they do. You know, they just put out. You know. Funny stuff, like for example, let me see if I can pull it up here. They're back now. So what happened earlier this week, I'll give you an example in a second, but Centel was trending because somebody noticed that it hadn't posted in a while and many thought it was being banned from X. And so teams, and I don't know which night this was, it might have been Tuesday night. The Rockets, the Kings, the Heat, and other teams, the Magic, anybody who won that night was posting to their official Twitter accounts forever in our hearts and hashtag rip Centel and hashtag free Centel. This win is dedicated to NBA Centel. The whole league was mourning the loss of this parody account.
I saw Stephen A. Smith rip off a RIP Centel.
Yeah, even Stephen A. Smith got in on it. So everybody thought it was gone. But apparently, quick follow-up, it's back just today. Nobody knows where it went. The report that I saw said that Ballsack was trying to help it get its status back or whatever.
Did it violate some terms or something? Or like,
I don't. Nobody knows. But it is back with the latest tweets being, and it's at. It's not NBA Centel. It's at the NBA Centel, Centel. So it looks like the NBA Central Twitter. The banner is Kevin Durant. You got Centeled. So that's become a thing, just like you got ball sacked. Their latest is Jason Tatum believes he is the face of the NBA, while league officials note there is no clear evidence to validate his claim.
Yeah, so people fall for these headlines as if they're real very frequently, and then people who know it's not real have a field day with other people thinking it's real.
Well, and then they tag via at Chris B. Hain, as opposed to
the fake Chris Haynes.
B.
Yeah.
Haynes. Mm-hmm. And so the art of this is that their headlines are somewhat, I mean, you could see how you could get duped by their headline. They're not just so outlandish. Like this one, the one of the other ones that they recently posted was, Kevin Durant reportedly wants to wait until summer to determine which NBA Finals team he wants to join via Sharms.
Yep, there you go.
What's Sharms' last name?
Sharanya.
Sharms Sharanya. So it's back. Misinformation back on your timeline. I just think it's funny that the entire like, what does it say that the real league is mourning the loss of a joke
of
account?
A fake parody account.
I mean, doesn't that tell you a lot?
Yeah. The league operates online pretty much. Like the stuff that happens online in the league is seemingly bigger than what happens on the court.
It's way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it says to many of us that the comical satirical quips of the fake NBA are better than the actual NBA.
There you go.
And I couldn't agree more.
So, I think it was Josh Pate, who the college football guy who said it when the Luka Doncic trade went down. And he's like, I have never, in every other sport, the most exciting thing that happens on the field of play, except for the NBA, where the biggest things are who's joining what super team, what's the blockbuster trade, and no one even wants to watch what those guys do with the ball in their
hands.
Boy,
it's so true. You know, in the NFL, we love, as fans, we geek out on how teams build rosters, and where they have holes and this and that. We could not care any less about how an NBA team, a really good NBA team like Boston or Oklahoma City, builds its roster. All we care about is who are their top two players or top three players. Who are their stars?
And are they little bitches on social media?
Yeah, and then they get into little quibbles like Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport on Twitter.
Yeah.
Kevin
Durant with his burners.
Isn't that fascinating? Because, it's so true. I was thinking about this with the Lakers the other night. We're watching the Lakers play Dallas, and I'm sitting there going, dude, this is great that they have Luka and LeBron, or maybe it's not. I mean, a lot of people don't like that the Lakers have Luka now. But I was like, this is going to be an interesting experiment. But that team is not I'm sure there's a lot of fans that are like, oh, Lakers are going to win it all now. They got Luka and LeBron. Dude.
That team's not very good.
No, they are not built to win a championship right
They're
now.
They're not built to win a bunch of seven-game series.
It's not even, it's just a couple of stars and a bunch of players. Like, you're not going to win a title that way. I know people think that that's how that happens. It's not. You're not beating Boston. You're not beating Oklahoma City. Not even Cleveland. Maybe not even Denver. But it's so true that in the NBA, we just don't. Roster, like how you build out your roster, we just don't care about it.
No, in the NBA, it's like the most important thing is like the reputations, the GOAT lists, the Mount Rushmore lists, the super teams.
It's all about the stars.
Who's slighted somebody else? Who's like the rival of somebody else now? Whose contract is going to get blown up? It's all the drama.
Yeah, and if you have a team that's really good but doesn't have the star, the top 5 or 10 player,
meh.
Yeah, we don't care about them.
I mean, that's the entire Spurs dynasty.
Exactly. Well, I mean, come on. They had
people didn't care about them, though. I mean, we give them their like reverence now. Like, everyone talks about how incredible they were. People did not care to watch that team. They were just good.
I get that. But they still had, when you have Duncan.
Yeah, but his nickname was the Big Fundamental because of his drop step and what he did off the glass.
I know. Weird.
Wasn't exciting.
Well, I was about to say rest in peace, Sintel. No. Revive.
Nay.
Not going anywhere. Now, before we get out of here, and in our next segment, we'll talk about NFL rule changes, but you're betting against our Hornets tonight?
That's correct, yeah.
So they're 9.5-point dogs at Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I read that this is the 10th game of a 10-game road trip. Now, tell me why they are on a 10-game
because
road trip.
It got interrupted by the All-Star break. It's not a true 10-game road trip. They probably had 4 on the road before the All-Star break and then got a week off for the All-Star break and then had six more on the road, and that's a 10-game road trip. Or 3-7 or something like that.
But that still seems abnormal. Like, why would they do that to him?
I don't know.
Is there something going on in Charlotte? Because that happened in San Antonio that always, right? Didn't the Spurs always have to... There was like a big rodeo or something?
Maybe.
And the Spurs always had to go on a big, long road trip?
Yeah, I mean, really I think generally most teams will take some long periods of time to be away so that their home venues can pull off other stuff, be it concerts or conferences or other sporting events, what have you. But, yeah, I mean, that does seem like a lot. But I think because it was broken up by the week off, the league doesn't view it as one road trip. It's just starting ending the first half on a road trip and starting the second half on a road trip, too.
Well, that's pretty rough. I mean...
Yeah, no, I don't disagree, but it's also not like...
That's part of the reason
They had 8 days off in between, in the middle there, so...
But it's part of the reason why they're getting their ass kicked every night by 50. I don't know, 9.5 seems low. That seems like a trap line. I don't understand that.
Yeah, we'll see.
So you're loading up on Dallas, huh?
I took Dallas -9.
Okay. Probably the smarter bet. Have we, but with the Hornets, have we found a franchise that has a bleaker outlook than the Blazers? I mean, are they ever good? They're never good.
God, I mean, it kind of feels like the Wizards have been there for a while. Like, when's the last time the Wizards had anything going?
Yeah. Gilbert Arenas?
Yeah. It would probably be Gilbert, yeah.
You're right, though. That's a bad franchise.
And now they're the unequivocal worst in the league.
Yeah, but you feel like being in D.C., like, I don't know.
Better than being in, like...
It's better for their future than Portland or Charlotte.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah, that... Man.
It's bad, though.
I don't know if there are Hornets fans, but if
and
there
nobody,
are...
Yeah, nobody cares there. I mean, it is a college basketball state.
Right.
There are... You have Duke, North Carolina, Wake Forest, NC State, all within, like, 15 miles. Like, you don't... It's not the thing there.
Somebody texts and says, well, the drama of the NBA isn't even interesting. That's fair.
Well, to but people who think the NBA is interesting, the drama is more interesting than the product.
Well, I would say that the drama, even if it's not interesting, is still more interesting than the league.
That's the thing. Right now, it's more entertaining than the product.
People are bored with the actual product, so they have to have the, I don't know, KD get have a burner account and all that crap. Fill up their timeline. And no, I'm not calling. I have to clarify. The Lakers, they have other good players. You know, they have Reeves and Hachimura and Connect is back there, right?
Mm-hmm. Dalton Connect, yeah.
Good player. But I'm just saying, it's not built to win right now. Like, it's just, they lucked into Luka out of the blue.
Right.
So
the rest of that roster isn't going toe-to-toe with other playoff teams.
They don't
rosters.
Even have a center.
Yeah. That's right.
So it's like, you know, it takes time to build a roster right and have your complementary pieces in place around the stars for various reasons to accentuate their, their talents or make up for their weaknesses, whatever. A well-built roster takes a lot of time, a lot of construction. Lakers don't have that right now, even though they're very good and they have the stars. They just don't have, that's what I meant. But like, look at Boston. Dude, I don't know if it's Brad Stevens or who all gets the credit for building that team out.
They're deep.
So good.
Yeah, they're good and they're deep.
And Sam Presti kicking some ass in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and that's without all of his resources deployed yet still.
All right, NFL rule changes. They are considering several. We will get to that next. Here's Buck.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's about time.
Ends with beginnings.
Yeah, you got to hint to the NFL. They will, something's bad and people don't like it, they'll look at it in terms of rules. And it's about time that they are looking at changing overtime rules again. The regular season overtime rule, that is, because in the postseason, it's different. So in the regular season, in overtime, they changed it to 10 minutes several years ago.
Because that was the problem.
6 or 8 years ago. Well, they don't want it to go on for
player safety.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
But
how would you find a quick way to finish it?
The bigger thing there is that if you get the ball first and you score a touchdown, the game's over. Now, in the postseason, I think it's so stupid that they have different rules in the regular season and postseason. Because if they think
should always be decided the same way.
Yes.
Decide what's the best and do that.
Well, they obviously think it's dumb in the regular season because they wouldn't allow it in the postseason. So why do you allow it in the regular season? But I get it. I think that it's just trying to speed things along and whatever. But I think that's minimizing the games. I think that overtime is exciting, whether it's a regular season game or a postseason game, and it should be done a lot better than it is now. And so they are toying with changing it back to a 15-minute period. And also, thankfully, they want to change it to where each team has a chance to possess the ball, which is the way it should be. Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Troy Vincent, said, overtime is one topic that universally the committee is thinking about. We need to address this. And you do.
Agreed. Agreed 100%.
In last season, teams that won the coin toss in regular season overtime games wound up winning the game 12 out of 16 times. I think what we're seeing, too, with the coin toss thing, whoever wins the coin toss wins the game. I think what we're seeing is, I don't know about you, I watch a lot of NFL, and it always seems like that the opposing defense is just gassed. It's just gassed.
And right, so by that point in the game, the team who gets the ball first, yes, absolutely has the advantage.
They're going to drive down and score, yes, because the longer it takes, the more the opposing defense just can't hold up.
I think that's right.
It's stupid. So 12 out of 16, the team that won the toss won the game. There were just 11.6 plays per overtime in 2024, which is the second fewest in the past two decades, which lends credence to my point that they're just marching right down the field on the opposing defense because the opposing defense is just tired. And so that then raises the question, okay, well, then the next team gets the ball. The other team gets the ball. Their defense is also tired. And now you just have a score fest. But I would argue, and I don't know the numbers on this, how often does, in any part of an NFL game, how often do teams just trade touchdowns back and forth or trade scores back and forth each drive? It doesn't happen that often. Right. So, because of that, I think we're kind of overreacting to the idea that, well, it's got to stop somewhere.
Yeah, that this would just go on forever because no one would ever get a stop. I don't think that's accurate.
I don't think that's accurate either. So what if the NFL just went untimed in overtime and both teams get the ball at least once, and after that, the next score wins?
So I think that college was on the right track with the give each team a chance. The problem that wouldn't work for the NFL is that you start on the 25-yard line in college. You're already in field goal range. I think if you do the give everyone a chance to match, but start them at the 50, if you kick a field goal from there, you're looking at 67 yards. Like you basically have to get a first down before you can kick. And I think you would move things along considerably.
So you're saying give each team a possession.
Yep, from the 50-yard line.
Okay, so not even, so you don't kick off.
Nope.
Okay, so you're doing it like college.
Like college, but just doubling the length because you don't want to start them out in field goal range.
And then you just play sudden death?
Well, you play match.
Or I mean, you not sudden death. You give each team the ball, and then after that.
Same thing again.
Okay, but then how does it end?
Well, like you said, aren't just going to keep matching forever. I mean, how often? That's going to happen one time a season.
I know, but that one time they have to prevent that. So there has to be a way.
And that's just the thing, though. It's like, why are we going so far out of the depths of like what's normal for the one anomaly that happens once a year? Who cares?
But I just don't think, you can have an NFL game that just goes on in perpetuity.
That goes seven overtimes? Why not? It happened one time to one team this season. Big deal.
Yeah, I just think you got to have something that makes it stop.
Let them end in a tie. After three of them, it's over.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Because right now, we just run out of time, and it's a tie. So maybe after three possessions.
That's fine.
And you can do the whole thing where you have to go for two, or maybe you have to go for two the entire time.
Have a kickoff.
You could, or you could eliminate it and just say every touchdown you need to go for two, because it gives us more differentiation.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'd listen to all that. I just think, thankfully, the NFL is paying attention here. They will change this. I mean, they'll probably do the postseason overtime rule in the regular season, and they'll change it to 15 minutes. Because 10 minutes, that goes really fast.
It does, and that's why we've seen a bunch of ties in the last few years.
Yeah. Kickoffs. That's the next one. Now, I don't care as much about this one, because I think the kickoff is just, I don't know, I think it's stupid. But they are realizing, and Suit called this. You got to give him credit. He called this. He's like, because we were all talking about, this is such a cool kickoff, new kickoff rule and everything. And he's like, dude, you watch. It's going to be touchback after touchback. And it kind of is, although the stats show that the rule change to kickoffs this season led to a 57% rise in kickoff returns, which doesn't feel like that. When I watched the NFL, it just seemed like...
I did not feel like we were getting more returns.
No, but they said it did, and it also delivers a lower rate of injury because of the change.
Which is wonderful. That's what it was designed to do, and it's doing that.
But now they're talking about changing it again, but it doesn't really say what they're considering. They just want more returns. They don't want it to be just a kind of a formality. So that one, I don't know what they do on that. I mean, you could eliminate kickoffs. Just place the ball at the 30 and let's go. I think what they would do to entice more returns is just give the ball, just move it back 5 yards where you place it if it's a touchback, so that it gives you the incentive to take it out of there.
But that's just the thing, though, is they're trying to disincentivize the return, because the ones that get returned are the ones that lead to injury. So it's like, it feels like this... Yeah. Disingenuous thing where we don't really want it out of the game, but we kind of have to get it out of the game because it's a problem. It's weird.
Yeah, they haven't figured that one out. They kind of, I mean, I get what
they're kind of fence sitting on it, right?
Well, I give them credit. They know that something needs to change,
and they're trying something, they'll try something else,
and they're going to try exactly. Yeah. They're going to keep going with it. So let's see where they go with it. Coming up next, I want to tell you about two others that I think are more interesting. Well, at least one other one, and that is the. You were talking about tennis and what is the contraption
like their eye in the sky or eagle eye or something like that?
Hawkeye.
That's
what it's called. It's the Hawkeye technology where you can see where the ball's in or out or where they hit the line in tennis. They're using that. They're bringing that to the NFL, which I think is great. And we will get to that. Oh, the other one is the onside kick. So two other potential changes in the NFL are coming. We'll talk about those next on The Fan. What a jam this is.
It's such a jam. I just had to add it to our rotation.
I love that.
Actually, you know what? I did it when...
Yep. I know where you're going.
And I'm not caught up yet. I'm disappointed that I'm not caught up yet. But yeah, I did it after season 2, episode 3 of Severance.
That's right. If you're watching Severance,
they used it at the end of the episode with a little outro into the credits, and it was perfect.
It was perfect, and that is exactly what I thought of when every time I hear that now. Yeah. I think of Severance.
And it was a jam before that, but that was one of those, like, they picked the perfect song for the perfect TV moment.
You're so right. I thought the exact same thing when they played it, and I instantly went and put it on my Spotify.
Yeah, it's a jam, man.
That's The Who. And if you aren't watching Severance, very good show. It's on Apple TV.
They're midway through, I guess almost done with the second season.
Very good show. Okay. NFL rule changes, a couple of others that they are toying with. The first down, well, this isn't, they're not toying with this. They are going to do this. The first down spot will now be measured by Hawkeye, which it's about damn time.
No kidding. We are for $30 billion a year, like, machine, we shouldn't be using the chain links anymore.
Yeah, and all the stadiums have the Hawkeye camera system. So it's basically what's going to happen is, so they're going to keep the chain crews on the sidelines. So all the volunteers are, I think they're volunteers, maybe they get paid a couple shekels a game, but they're all going to still be there. I don't really know why. Well, I guess I do know why. The reason the chain crews are staying is because if by some chance there is a technical error with the equipment.
If the system were to break down, you would need the manual.
You would need that.
Yeah.
But it's so big distinction here is they're not going to allow this technology to spot the ball. The referee still spots it. But once the referee spots it, the Hawkeye will then determine whether or not it is a first down. And that's great. Because that is way better than putting an index card or something. That
was such an abomination. Like, I'm not even sure what that was supposed to accomplish or prove. It's like, well, it looks really close. You know what? I've got an index card in my pocket. I'll try to apply that. Was that Steratore? Who was that?
I don't remember who it was.
I think it was Gene Steratore.
The Hawkeye system, in reality, will not be used very often at all. NFL statistics show that there are an average of 12 measurements conducted each week, less than one per game. And part of the reason for that is ball spotting mechanics make most measurements unnecessary. So any first down is going to be spotted on the nearest yard line. If the ball is 6 inches short of the 20-yard line, the umpire will place the nose of the ball on the edge of the 20. If during the series the ball is just touching the 30-yard line, it's first down and there will be no measurement. When the line to gain is between 5-yard stripes and the dead ball spot is in a side zone away from the hash marks, that's when they have to measure. Under this mechanic, the inches don't matter all of the time. So
I get what they're saying. That basically, if you go and get, you know, a 4.5-yard carry, they're not just going to leave it between half yard lines. They're essentially going to set it up so that the next play can be administered, in which if you get it to this point, it's just obviously a first down, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But now the only thing there is the 10.5, for example.
Yeah.
Goal to go. That's different.
Right.
You have to make sure that that's right.
Sure.
But, and like I said, the technology isn't going to spot the ball for the officials. So, you know, people are thinking of the Josh Allen, the sneak in the Bills Chiefs game, the AFC Championship game. This would not have changed that. I'm always quite impressed with where officials spot the ball in the NFL and how good they are at that. At the same time, there are times when they get it wildly wrong. And this will help. Well, actually, this won't help with that. But it is nice that they're jumping in on Hawkeye and using it more. And it's only a matter of time, right, before this technology.
It should be almost fully automated very soon. Very much like balls and strikes in baseball. We're going to see the technology take over this very simple thing pretty quickly here.
By the way, the chain gang was implemented in football in 1906. Did you know that? That's the same year they implemented the forward pass.
Yeah, I mean, how else are you going to do? You pretty much have to go out there with, I mean, you're not going to eyeball it. You got to use something. So just go out there with the 10-yard stick and say, okay, did he make it?
And then the other change, onside kicks. Here are the onside kick rate numbers the last 10 seasons. So go back to 2015. In other words, success rate. 15%, 2016, 11%, 2017, 21% of onside kicks were recovered by the kicking team. Then they banned the running start, and then it went down to 7%, 12, 4, 16, and then the last 3 years it's been 5%, 4%, and 6%.
Yeah.
So it's just, they call it a dead play, and that's right. Occasionally somebody screws it up and the kicking team recovers, but it's generally called a dead play because everybody knows, well, one, you have to tell the other team when you're doing an onside kick now, but two, everybody knows that you're not going to get it. So it's a stupid play. So they're looking at changing that. Now, one of the things, I don't know how they would do that and still keep the onside kick unless they went back to the old rules of the onside kick. But one radical change is, and I think we've talked about this before, but it's been proposed, and they're talking about it again, that instead of the onside kick, you get one down, fourth down, 20 yards, fourth and 20.
They've come up with a couple different variations of that, but essentially, yeah, you start deep in your own 20 with a fourth and impossible, and if you can somehow come up with and convert the fourth down, then you get a set of first down wherever you got the ball.
I don't hate it. I really don't.
No, I don't either.
I think the onside kick is great. I would love to see the onside kick revived, but that's also pretty exciting.
But this is a more exciting alternative until we figure that out.
This is an exciting
because right now
play.
People just aren't doing the onside kick, and those onside kicks aren't being recovered, so let's see something different.
For comparison, the fourth down and 15-plus yards to go rate, conversion rate, is 14%. So that does get at least just the percentages of the play, of converting the play, that gets it back up to some of those old onside kick numbers, which would be good. So, I don't know. I'm all for it. Because I think the onside kick is sweet.
And
but
you made the point, too, like, the NFL knows when something needs to be changed or needs to be different. If that element of the game is dead and is kind of pointless or isn't, you know, giving us entertainment value, like, they'll do something about it. Well, it might not be perfect, and it might take a couple years to figure out, but I just appreciate that it's a league that is going to make swift changes.
Yeah. They're not stupid. Someone asks on the Vancouver, or damn it, it's not Vancouver Ford. Rest in peace. The fan text line. Can you challenge the spot by the human and use Hawkeye? No. You should be able to.
Yeah.
And probably down the road, but not this year. I think the one thing they're concerned about, one, is using it too much, but two, technology. I think they are. I read a quote from somebody at the NFL who said, you know, they were a little worried that the technology wasn't quite reliable enough before, but they feel comfortable enough with it in this small, just this facet to go with it for next year.
And that's the thing is, I get you wanting to be absolutely certain about it before you implement it, because even though it's overdue and even though it's clearly the right thing, if you go out and roll this out and it's botching calls and it's botching measurements, like, people are going to have an even bigger problem with it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what they do. What on earth happened to Gene Hackman? The details of this story are wild.
Yeah, you have more details than I realized were out there. And now, I mean, I was already thinking things were a little bit funky, but
it's weird.
More than I realized.
There may not be anything to it, but there may be everything to it. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.